Amen. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and read 1 through 3. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV. It's just a little simpler. Just stay with me. But as we start reading this, I just want you to hear this and know this, that as I prayed, I believe that the Lord wants to do something in every heart here. All right, so I'm going to read it. He says, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." And Paul makes the point here. He tells them real plainly. He says, I don't need some reference. I don't need a letter of recommendation. He's telling these Corinthians, he says, you're the proof of my ministry. But he goes on, he says, others can see it. Others can read it for themselves. His ministry was verified not by some, you know, he's got his credentials, you know. Nowadays, you got to have your credentials. Paul didn't need any credentials. These people were the proof, the evidence of his ministry. He said, you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry. Now, it was the power of Christ. It was the Spirit of God that had transformed their lives, not Paul, but Paul got to be the vessel that God used to do a work in their hearts. The Holy Spirit used Paul to work through, but that power of Christ, the Spirit of God, flowed through that man. And, you know, God used Paul way beyond just some momentary thing or influence. His life and ministry impacted people's lives for eternity. And we need to see that, because there's more to come here, all right? But every one of us that serves the Lord, in some way, to some degree, we are evidence of somebody else's ministry. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about necessarily a pastor or a preacher even. I mean, there may be not just one, but a lot of people that God used to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to write on your heart and to make you a letter from Christ. I mean, I look back at my life and the friends and the mentors, the people that spoke into my life, and the pastors. I still remember, I started going to this church, and, you know, even though I was a Christian, I just wasn't really sold out to God. But this pastor, he preached with anointing, and the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I just couldn't be a lukewarm, halfway Christian anymore, you know. And many of you still in this church, Pastor Harold Nichols had such an impact on your heart and your life. And for some of you, you know, you think of a family member that had a real impact in your life. So I just want you to understand that this isn't just about the Apostle Paul or some big shot, but this is about anybody that has had a part that God has used to write on your heart to bring about transformation in your life. But Paul told the Corinthians their lives were a letter that were known and read by all men. Verse 2, he said, known and read by everybody. And you know what? So are we. Our lives are a living letter that other people see every day. I think this is a heavy thing. I think this is a little bit of a scary thing, that we just have to grasp this, that other people are reading who and what we are for Christ, or what we're not, maybe sometimes, right? Verse 3, he said, you show that you are a letter from Christ. Are you a letter from Christ? Listen, if you're a born-again Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a letter from Christ. I know that there are some that profess to be Christians, but their lives speak way too much of other things and of the things of this world. But it ought to be that we, as the followers of Jesus, that we truly are a letter from Christ. We need to know this, that others see what we are. You know, God's word is often referred to as a love letter, and it should be. I mean, it is a love letter. But I just want you to understand that God reaching out to a lost and dying world is not only from people reading this book, but it is through us. It is them seeing the love of God in our lives. This is a love letter. You see, our lives are a letter from Christ. Our lives can be a love letter from God to let people know that God loves them. You know, this is really more than just rhetoric. You and I are His love letter to people that just won't even pick up a Bible. I mean, it's cliche, but it's true. You might be the only Bible that some people ever read. Especially in the time that we are living in. Because, you know, I grew up as far back as I can remember as a little kid, even when for years we didn't go to church, I believed with all my heart that the Bible was the Word of God. But we're living in a generation now where a lot of people, they just question the Bible. They don't believe it's necessarily the Word of God. It's just a book written by a bunch of people. It has no authority. You know, they don't think it's infallible. But let me tell you something. You see, those are the very people that need us the most to be that living letter from Christ. Every day that we live it out before them. You see, they may look at this book and just say, I'm not going to read that thing. That's not, you know, that ain't nothing to me. But I want to tell you, you as a living epistle, a living letter, can have a real impact on their heart. You can be that letter to them that causes them to want to go read this. They see something real in you. I know the Bible is never going to be read by all, but our lives will be. And just think about this, our families, their kids, and the grandkids, and your neighbors, and your coworkers, and your acquaintances, people whose paths you cross, you see, you are a living letter from Christ. We're His love letter. Even to those who can't read or refuse to read. I believe that we're to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that He died for us to reconcile us to God. We should tell other people what God has done in our lives. But I'm also going to tell you, it's got to be more than talk. It's got to be something that we walk. They need to see that it's real, that it's genuine in our life. You know, it certainly should be heard in what we say, but we all know this, actions speak louder than words. And if they see that our life has truly been changed, that we're truly different, that we're not the same, that God has transformed our lives, I want to tell you, that is powerful. So what is the letter that you are saying to others? Does it say that God is real? That you have a relationship with Him? Or does it just speak of religion? Does it say that you are a child of God, serving a living God who moves and works and does miracles in the lives of His children? Or does it just say that your God is distant and far away and doesn't care? What does that letter of your life say? Does it say that your God is loving and longing to reconcile the world? Does it say that He is good? Does it say that He is forgiving and kind and gracious? Or does it say that He's angry, that He's out to get them, that He's mad? A lot of mad Christians. Your life is saying something to the world. I'm just telling you. See, they need to be able to look at us as a letter from Christ and see what our God is like. You know, they ought to be able to read about the joy. When they look at us, they ought to read about joy. Jesus said He wanted our joy to be full. They ought to look at us and be able to read about the peace of God. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." We're supposed to have peace. They ought to be able to read about it in our life, just seeing how we live. Do they read about all the good things that God has done in your life because of your heart of gratefulness and your giving thanks to God for everything? You see, when we testify of the Lord's goodness and we talk about God's faithfulness and all the things He's done in our life, you see, that is a letter that speaks to other people about who our God is and what He's like. Does our life say that we got a little religion that helps, you know, maybe it reforms us somewhat? Or does it speak of a God who has transformed our life, that we are a new creation in Christ? 2 Corinthians 3:3, we'll back up here. He says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ." I want to say too, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a born-again Christian, you are a letter from Christ. You are a letter from Christ. It might be intimidating or daunting to think of yourself as being a letter from Christ to the world around you. But it's also a powerful thing. You are a letter from Christ. You see, we need to realize that we truly can have an impact in this world. You know, Paul says, you're the result. He tells these people, says, "The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." See, this letter from Christ that is written on our hearts, it is by the Spirit of the living God. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that has taken a pen to our heart and written in our lives. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we got to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to change us from the inside out. See, it's the Holy Spirit that makes us who we're supposed to be. But He doesn't force His way. He doesn't force Himself upon us. No, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to change us and to mold us and shape us into who we're supposed to be. See, we need to say, "Lord, write on my heart. I want to be a letter that speaks of You to the world. Write on my heart. Go ahead and write some more, Lord." That's a good prayer for tonight, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord. Go ahead and write some more, Lord. Change me, make me who You want me to be. Just a little later in the same chapter where he's talking about this letter from Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." You see, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work in us, but I want you to see this, that we reflect the Lord's glory. You see, when people look at us, they ought to get at least a reflection. They ought to get a little bit of a glimpse of Jesus. They need to see that Jesus has truly changed our lives, and it's an ongoing process because He says that we go from glory to glory, transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. He just continues to make us more like Jesus. We ought to always be growing. And you know, this letter that we are, it's not done. And it ought to get better and better as He continues to write on our hearts. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Then in the next chapter, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, we have this treasure. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, but he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Living letters. We're a treasure. We have this treasure, but we are jars of clay. He's talking about these earthly bodies, but he's also making reference to our human frailty and inability and weakness. He's talking about the power of God, that it's God and not us. You see, we need to know this and understand this, that yes, in our weakness, in our frailty, in our humanness, yet the Holy Spirit can work in and through our lives. This treasure, it's His all-surpassing power at work in us. And it is only by the Spirit of God that we're truly changed. You know, when we're led by the Holy Spirit, when we just allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives and we walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tells us that this is what the Holy Spirit will produce in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, fruit is something you can see, is what he's talking about. It's what it produces. This is the evidence that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding your life. It's evidence of a Spirit-filled life. And I just want to say to you that, you see, as a letter from Christ, these things people ought to be able to read about these things in us. This is real. You know, when we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, I think, well, our lives tell the wrong story. We need the help of the Holy Spirit every day, or we end up sending a mixed message to the world. See, we need to let the Lord help us to write the next paragraph of our life under the control of His Holy Spirit, that people see what we're really supposed to be and what God can do in our lives. And we just need to remember, we're a letter from Christ, not a letter from ourselves. No, we are a living letter known and read by everybody because Christ lives in us. And I love this verse, Galatians 2:20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, how can I be a letter worth reading? Jesus lives in me. That's how we can. Being led of the Spirit, allowing Him to live in us, you know, putting His Word in our heart. If we're a living letter of Christ, then our lives are going to have to line up with the Word of God. We can't be just saying one thing and living another. No, as a living letter of Christ, we want our lives to line up with the Word of God so people can see the truth being lived out. You know, whenever you talk about lining your life up with the Word of God, you need to understand this. It takes more than just hearing somebody preach it or you reading it. No, most of the time, we need to meditate that Word. We need to go over it and over it and over it until we get it down in our heart. You know, when the Lord is giving Joshua the principles for him to be successful, he tells him to don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. But he tells him to meditate in it day and night, that you can observe to do it. And you know, a lot of the time, we kind of know what it says. Maybe we could even quote it. But sometimes it just takes us really meditating the word to get it down inside of us. And you see, when we do that and we begin to live it out, then we're being the kind of letter that can really have an impact on the world around us. You know, that person that you wish would come to church with you or would read the Bible, let them read it in your life. See, if we want people to read the Bible, we should be a living Bible. In a sense, we are a living Bible. There's times when you can't quote the word to people because it won't be received. Sometimes you have to show it to them in your life. I suppose a lot of people feel this way about their grandparents, but Carmen can testify to you. What I'm going to tell you is absolutely true. My grandmother hardly ever quoted a verse, but she was loving and kind and generous and unselfish and meek and gentle. She lived as a letter of Christ, and she had such an impact on people's lives, including me and Carmen. I've known people on the other end of that that quoted verses of Scripture all the time. Don't misunderstand me. I love the Bible, and I love to quote the Bible. But I've seen some people that went around spouting Scriptures, but they used it as a weapon to attack other people. And I just want to tell you that that's not a letter that anybody wants to read. And if we want to really impact people's lives, you see, we got to live it out before them. Let them see the letter of Christ that we are. Every word of encouragement, every act of kindness, every hug, every prayer, I tell you, it can be used of the Spirit of God to write in somebody else's heart. You see, we are in part, as I said earlier, you see, somebody else has written on our hearts. But in the same way that Paul was used of God and somebody was used of God to write on our hearts, we can be used of God to write on somebody else's heart. If we'd just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to use us, remember, it's the Holy Spirit that does it. But He uses these clay vessels. He uses these earthly bodies full of faults and flaws, and we make mistakes, and yet He uses us. What an amazing thing. You know, I think sometimes we think too much of ourselves. I don't like arrogance, and you know what? The Lord doesn't either. He resists the proud. But sometimes we don't think enough of the Holy Spirit, because even in our weakness, He's strong. You see, even when we don't have what it takes, the Holy Spirit does. And He's the one that writes on the hearts. But we need to be aware of the tremendous impact we can have on others by the Spirit of God. Be aware that we're influencing others. You know, here's a scary thing that I talk about sometimes, and this is both a natural truth and a spiritual truth, that we reproduce after our own kind. You never produce just what you want. You produce what you are. I mean, everything reproduces after its own kind, and that's the scriptural pattern. You know who makes disciples? Disciples. And we just need to realize that, you see, it's so important that we are truly being that letter of Christ, because we're going to write on other people's hearts. Who are you helping with their walk with God? By the Spirit of God, who are you going to influence to give their life to Christ? I want to tell you, you have what you need to do it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and He has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, He's given us His love. He's given us His gospel so that we can impact the hearts and lives of others. What life-changing power there is. So many that we pass by every day, and some you may not see again, but you still can sow a seed. You still can maybe make one mark on their heart. Maybe you just wrote one sentence or one phrase on their heart, but it becomes part of the letter of Christ that they will be. So look for a place to make your mark every day, to write a note on somebody's heart. It's easy when you find somebody struggling, you find somebody hurting, you find somebody that's searching, find somebody in trouble, you find somebody that just won't go to church. Well, leave a mark on them. The right kind of mark, right? Your life speaks. What's it saying? So, you see, tonight, let me tell you, we could send out some type of mailing, mass mailing to our city, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. It would have small impact. But let me tell you what has a big impact. We send these letters, these living letters, out into the community. That can have a huge, life-changing impact for a lot of people. That's something that really works. So, I kind of didn't want to preach this message tonight, because, y'all don't laugh at me, because I just think sometimes I'm not a very good letter. And I know that if I feel that way, I know some of you do also. But I just want to tell you, you know, they say you only get to make one first impression. Well, the Apostle Paul, you know, his name was Saul, his first impression was not good. And I remember Moses, his first impression wasn't good. I mean, he started his ministry trying to kill somebody, right? Or he did kill somebody. But and you know, as you read the Bible, there's just, and we all know this, there's been a lot of people that God used, their first impression was not good at all. You only get one first impression, but you get your life to make a lasting impression. And Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, and he's telling them, you're a letter from Christ, and, you know, talking to them about this treasure we have and these earthen vessels, the power of God, all these great things he's saying to them. These are the same people that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, you're carnal. You're just babies in Christ. because you got this strife and division among you. You're just babies in Christ. You're carnal. I want to tell you something. God doesn't have any perfect vessels. He's just got you and me. And here's the thing. By the grace of God, He uses us weak, imperfect vessels to write with the ink of the Holy Spirit on our hearts. You see, here's part of the letter we are. The grace of God. One such as I. You see, people in this world, they need that. Sometimes we come off to the world like we got it all together, you bunch of stinking sinners. No. They need to see the part of our life. They need to read about the part about how God is working in us, that God has changed our life. And I just feel like for me and for some of you tonight, this is the way we're supposed to end this tonight. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to write a new paragraph in your heart tonight. And for some of you, that you just need to pray, Lord, begin a new chapter in my life. I don't want to be the same a year from now. I want a new chapter written in my life that others can read about how you've changed my life. Amen. So we're gonna wrap this service up just with a time of prayer. And you know what? I'm just going to just say that as we begin to pray that you're dismissed, all right? I know that's awkward sometimes, but you know, just whenever you need to or you feel released to go, you can go. But we're just going to have a time of prayer in here. And I just want to encourage you just to allow the Holy Spirit to write a paragraph tonight. Maybe it's just one sentence, but you let the Holy Spirit do something in your heart tonight. Stand with me. We're going to pray together.